Do you have someone in your life where you can talk about the reality of where people are at spiritually? Not gossiping, but your concern. Where you're concerned for where they're at. You're praying for them. You have a deep desire and unity for them to walk with the Lord and be right. And believe me, people can make you concerned at times.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, your message today, it's really a message for all of us.
Dave, it really is a message that we all need to hear, because we're going to be looking at Timothy and his faithful example in ministry. And this example is so inspiring, and I believe it'll be a great blessing for all of us. So with this in mind, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 19 to 24.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
But I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I may also be encouraged when I learn of your condition. Paul hopes in the Lord to send Timothy to the Philippians shortly, or quickly, and the reason why, so that I also, he's including Timothy in that, I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. Now, Paul uses an interesting word here that's translated encouraged. Paul often will coin cognates of words that you don't see in other areas of Greek writing or other portions of Scripture, where he'll take two pieces of two different words and put them together to make something. And here he says encouraged, and he uses the term here, well or good, with the word psuche, or soul. That I would be good souled. That my internal reality, who I am, would be well when I learn of your condition. That shows an internal heart reality. Paul was not a hireling. He was genuinely concerned for those who were truly in Christ. Those who wanted to follow the Lord. He was genuinely concerned. And he says, I hope so that I also may be good souled when I learn of your condition. You see, he desired to hear of their spiritual condition, and he was assuming it would be a favorable report. You remember what the Apostle John said in 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than this, than to hear of my children walking in the truth, obeying the Lord God. I'll tell you what grieves me the most is when I talk to people, when you're not obeying Christ, or there's excuses or this or that or whatever it is, rather than I'm a sinner and I need Jesus and he needs to help me and I trust him to do so. He's faithful. And obeying Christ. It's a joy to hear of those doing well in the Lord, but equally it's grieving when they are not. The Apostle Paul was very concerned about the body of Christ. He shares in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, who is led into sin without my intense concern. He talks about the pressure of concern for all the churches. We're going to see that word concern there. And also in our passage is a word that speaks of worry, actually. Same word translated anxiety, but it's different. We'll talk about that in a minute. So what type of things might Paul be looking for? What dangers might have the Philippians been in that he was concerned about? What dangers might there have been? Well, we all know we have dangers, right? But what things specifically were a threat to their faith in Jesus Christ? Earlier in this letter, he elaborates to some specific threats. We saw in chapter 1, there was opposition and the result was suffering. Chapter 1, verse 27, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you, so that you are standing firm in one spirit, standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith, the gospel. In no way alarmed by what? Your opponents. They had opponents. Which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you. And that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Suffering. opposition. What about chapter 3? We know there were threats from false brethren. Chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble for me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. There were false guys there. There were bad guys. Chapter 3, verse 20. We know that many, he says, often weeping, are now enemies of the cross of Christ. And then in chapters 2 and 4, we see that their own flesh was a threat, right? Do all things without complaining and grumbling. Chapter 4, verse 2. I urge Euodia and Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. There was difficulties. Chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. There's obviously the temptation to be anxious. Obviously, the Philippians were just like you and I. They were threatened by direct opposition. They had false teachers teaching. They had worldly influences and their own flesh. All the same stuff that we are in danger of. And Paul was concerned for their spiritual welfare. This is why he sent Timothy to check on their spiritual condition, so that he would be well-souled in the midst of suffering, hopefully having learned that the Philippians were doing well in the Lord. You see, when the Apostle Paul is checking their condition, he's checking about their faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, he sent Timothy to Thessalonians to check into their faith. See how they were doing. Are they trusting the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are they relying on the flesh? Are they falling apart? Or are they trusting and obeying Jesus? So the Apostle Paul was living out the reality of seeing others as more important than himself. We're going to see that. You say, how so? Well, sending Timothy was quite a selfless act. We're going to see in a minute, Paul had no one of same soul or kindred spirit. And he was willing to send him away. He's in prison with somebody who is just like him in the Lord. Isn't that wonderful to have someone who is following the Lord that you're having fellowship with? And he's going to send him away. He's considering the Philippians more important than himself. Selfless concern rather than self-centered concern. He was focused on seeing others as more important than himself. He's an example for us. And folks, we can become so selfish and self-centered and self-focused. And one aspect of that will be in not looking out for the spiritual welfare of those the Lord has placed in our path. Paul was more concerned about the Philippians than his own circumstances. So at this point, why would Paul send Timothy? Why Timothy? I've already alluded to it. We've read through it. But why send this man and not someone else? There were believers in Rome. Remember Caesar's household, chapter 4, says hello. These are believers. But the reality is not every believer's heart is at a place where someone may want to use them for Christ. We're going to see that. So what can we learn from Timothy's example? Verse 19, but I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I may also be encouraged when I learn of your condition. He's concerned about them. For, look at this, the explanation. I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. This is a tremendous passage. Now, as we look at Timothy, we're going to see he was single-minded. He was seasoned, proven. And he was a submissive servant of Jesus Christ. Now, just a brief bio of Timothy as we get in talking about him. Scripture reveals that Timothy was a native of either Derbe or Lystra. These were areas in Galatia. His mother was a Jew by the name of Eunice. His grandmother, Lois. His father was a Greek. We see that he was probably educated in Greek culture because he was not circumcised initially. We know from 2 Timothy chapter 3 that he knew the truth concerning salvation, which comes from the scriptures, that he was taught the sacred scriptures from childhood by his believing mother Eunice and his believing grandmother Lois. Praise the Lord for those ladies. If you're a true believer, you're going to see him someday. They taught the kids the truth concerning Jesus Christ. They taught him the truth when he was a kid. Do you teach your kids the truth of salvation, which is revealed in the scriptures? Do you teach them that? If you don't, you are not being obedient to what the Lord's called you to do. Lois and Eunice were godly. They taught Timothy. And so we don't know when Timothy was converted. The implication was he was converted in childhood, possibly. But we do know by the time he met Paul in Acts 16 that Paul recognized he was such a faithful servant, in a sense, he wanted to bring Timothy with him. And Timothy was young. This is the odd couple. Paul, the old guy, and Timothy, the young guy, right? But they were same-souled. Timothy was youthful. Paul would say, let no one look down on your youthfulness, Timothy. Acts chapter 16, turn there for a second. And he came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. And Paul wanted this man to go with him. He's a believer and he's well spoken of. We're going to think about a reputation. What's your reputation in Christ? If someone was to say, oh, that person, so-and-so, he's a faithful servant of the Lord. Oh, this person, well, I can't say anything. He was well spoken of. And now I don't think we realize how extensive from this point on, how much Timothy was a part of Paul's life. Paul speaks of him as his true child in the faith, his beloved son, his son in the Lord, his brother, his co-worker, his fellow servant, and fellow slave. He was with Paul in Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, in Corinth, in Ephesus, and here in Rome as he writes this. He is associated with Paul in the writing of some of his letters, such as 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 2nd Corinthians, Colossians, Philippians here. And when Paul wrote Romans, Timothy was there also. And indeed, 1st and 2nd Timothy are Paul's letters to Timothy. And we know in regards to the Philippians, they knew him also. He had been there in Acts 16, Acts 19, and Acts 20. Three times he had been with the Philippians. And so Timothy was of great use to the Apostle Paul. He was willing and faithful to do anything and everything Paul, inspired by the Spirit, wanted him to do. He was willing to do anything. But why this man? Simply because of that? Let's take a look at our passage. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send you Timothy shortly so that I may also be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. So why send Timothy? First of all, we see in verse 28 as he explains, for I have no one else of kindred spirit. The term kindred spirit here is literally same or equaled soul. Same souled. I have no one of that. Remember we saw in the last verse that term well souled. So I think now your NASB says like-minded, or the New King James says like-minded. NASB says kindred spirit. I think the term same-souled is much better. It's much more than just simply thinking the same way. It's a unity of your being, in a sense. Same-souled. He was same-souled with Paul. When there was a problem in Corinth, Paul could send Timothy. And he did send him. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 4:14. I do not write these things to shame you, but admonish you as my beloved children. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. I exhort you therefore, be imitators of me. For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ Jesus, just as I teach in every church. I can send Timothy, and he's going to remind you of my ways, Paul says, that just as he teaches in every church. He's going to share the word of God with you. He's of same soul. We're of one soul. He will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ. And Timothy was not only same-souled in terms of what he would do, but he was same-souled in his concern for the Philippians. Notice what he says in verse 20. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. It's an interesting word translated genuinely here. Actually, Paul takes a word that speaks literally of born from wedlock, legitimate birth. He's like, Timothy's the real deal. He's not illegitimate. He's genuine. And I have no one else of same soul who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. Now, the term for your welfare literally speaks of concerning the things of you. I have no one who will genuinely be concerned. Folks, isn't it a blessing to minister with someone who is genuine? No hypocrisy, no hidden motives, no agenda. Genuine. The real deal. I have no one else who will genuinely be concerned. Now, this word translated concerned is also translated in 4:6, anxious. And you might say, wait a second. In Philippians 4:6, we are commanded to be anxious for nothing. How can Paul speak of being concerned or anxious in a positive manner? How could he say that? Well, folks, Philippians 4:6, we're commanded to be not concerned about our own life circumstances. Just like Jesus commanded us not to be anxious, same word about food, shelter, and clothing. God will provide that. That type of concern is a wrong concern. It is a self-centered concern. It reveals a lack of faith and a denial of God's care and concern for us, and it is absolutely forbidden. We're not to be anxious about our circumstances in the future. God's sovereign over that. Trust Him. It's forbidden to be that way. But we can be concerned for others. And it's a genuine concern. And we are to be concerned for others. He's speaking of a concern for others in the context of a relationship with Jesus. One concern is selfish and thus reveals pride and a lack of faith, a wrong view of a relationship with God. The other concern is not selfish. It reveals a concern that we would be walking with the Lord rightly in humility and faith, seeing others as more important than ourselves. Do you have someone in your life where you can talk about the reality of where people are at spiritually, not gossiping, but your concern? Where you're concerned for where they're at, you're praying for them, you have a deep desire in unity for them to walk with the Lord and be right. And believe me, people can make you concerned at times when there are dangers out there to our faith. And we should be concerned about one another in a godly way. He says, I have no one else of kindred spirit who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. Here the requirement is genuine Christ-like concern for the sheep, for the spiritual condition. Paul was not sending Timothy because he was a good orator, Bible scholar, theologian, because he was popular. His qualification was that he would be genuinely concerned for your welfare. The implication is spiritual. That's the genuine qualification there. You see, both the Apostle Paul and Timothy emulated the chief shepherd. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and is not what? Concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. And I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Paul and Timothy had a Christ-like concern for the body of Christ, where they were at in their faith, where they were at in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And folks, don't overlook the sacrifice that Paul was asking Timothy to do at this time. There was no airplanes and emails and things like that. Paul was asking Timothy to go back from Rome to Philippi to check on their spiritual condition. This was no simple task. It was incredibly selfless and a sacrifice. It was a long and arduous journey. Remember when Paul was on his way to Rome, he was shipwrecked, experienced many other difficult situations. Paul is not simply asking Timothy to fill in on Sunday, to fill in the nursery. He's asking him to make an incredible sacrifice. And he says, for I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. There's no one else. This is a striking statement. There is no one else around me that I could send. Shouldn't there have been some around him? A lot of believers, I guess. Caesar's household, others, not saying they weren't believers. He's giving a real evaluation of where the people were around him. And by the way, whoever read this would go, ooh, I guess we're not there. Those in Rome, right? Guess Timothy's the only one. Well, that's the reality of it, right? Should be convicting. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. And why? He says, literally, says, for they all, verse 21, seek after their own interests, not those of Christ. It's a sad statement, but very true in the church these days. It's true in here at times. It's true in our lives. They all continually seek after, literally, their own things. They don't seek after the things of Christ, they seek after their own things. Everybody who was ministering to him in Rome, in the Roman church, those of Caesar's household, all. I got nobody. Now, we already know, and we'll know from next week, that he had already sent Epaphroditus. He's gone. It was well to note that Luke and Aristarchus were not there at this time. Everyone left, except Paul and Timothy, were those who were not same-souled, who were seeking the things of themselves. Do you live that way? Do you seek the things of yourself every day? Is that the way your life is structured? He's talking about believers here, by the way. Believers. The reality is there's not many believers totally sold out who are willing to do what God calls them to do, to sacrifice it all to do what God calls them to do. The things of you are in the way. It says, for they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. And I'll be honest with you, there are very few people here I can ask to do things in terms of the ministry. But there are precious few with a right attitude who will selflessly do whatever I as the shepherd ask them to do, which is right in the Lord. And this brings me joy. Just be honest with you. Paul was honest with them there. Be honest with you. I can't do this. I've got time with my family. Nothing wrong with your family. I can't serve in the nursery. I got to do this. I can't teach the kids. I'm busy. I can't play an instrument. I really got other things. I can't do this or that. These are small things. This isn't asking you to go to Rome. Simply put, in those moments, as we all are tempted, the things of you are more important than him. Folks, I'm not saying these things to make you feel bad or offend you, but I hope in the Lord you'll prayerfully evaluate your lives in regards to your faithfulness and selflessness. And my desire is that each one of you would be like Timothy. Timothy was selfless, willing to give all for Christ from a changed heart. How about you? Would the scripture, if it was written about you today, like it was about those around Paul this day, would it classify you as one who seeks after your own things or the things of Christ?
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. You know, Greg, in these final moments of today's program, what's one thing that we can take away from today's message?
Well, Dave, I hope we've all been convicted and inspired at the same time by Timothy's faithfulness to the Lord. Indeed, there's no greater joy for every true shepherd to see like-minded, faithful servants doing their ministry unto the Lord, trusting Christ completely. And Timothy's selfless example of his faithfulness to the Lord draws a stark contrast to the average believer in today's evangelical Christian culture. So my hope and my prayer is that you've been truly convicted by Timothy's godly example, and if need be, we confess the sin of complacency in ministry to Christ. And I pray that we would have a renewed desire to be faithfully serving Christ from a pure and unadulterated heart, like Paul and Timothy were in their ministries.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.